Friday, loves. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And if you're just joining us, I keep saying this, but it doesn't make any less true. I can't believe that it's November of 2023, and I'm actually talking about a new Beatles song that got sprung on the world today. And, how many of you, like, hate the Beatles? Is there anybody who hates the Beatles? If you go online and you look up Beatles suck, there are a lot of people, apparently, in this world who do not like the Beatles. If you had to list your own personal favorite bands of all time, would the Beatles be number one, or would somebody else be number one? And what I find remarkable, as of 2019, streaming music, not screaming, but streaming music, the younger demographics are making up a huge percentage, I would argue a disproportionate percentage, of people who are streaming Beatles songs, which might in part be because of the technology, and they are more technologically adept than their older people. But clearly, the Beatles have captured something within the human spirit, within the human soul, the human appreciation of art and music that very, very few people have done on a consistent basis. Look, some of you listening are diehard Led Zeppelin fans, and look, anybody can name 10 awesome Led Zeppelin songs, but they weren't as prolific as the Beatles. The Rolling Stones, however, certainly as prolific as the Beatles and with some great songs. But I don't know that the Rolling Stones had the kind of cultural impact that the Beatles did. It's almost like the Beatles kind of set the path for the Rolling Stones. In some respects. And earlier today, we had Gary Astridge on, who is from Buffalo, lives in Buffalo. He is Ringo Starr's official drum historian. He's got a book coming out with Ringo. He's friends with Ringo Starr. And here's a guy whose entire life's trajectory was changed by seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. And you can go back and listen to the interview we did with Gary Astridge. But for a guy who is now white-haired and older to be, aren't we all, but to be hanging out with a Beatle that inspired you to pick up the drums and basically steered the direction of the ship of your life, I said ship, of your life, every time I talk to Gary, I can just hear how, I think, awestruck and in a state of disbelief he happens to be. So, many questions come to my mind. Like, one of the questions is pretty simple. Are the Beatles overrated? Is there anybody out there who believes, and it's okay if you believe this because we all have different tastes in music, are the Beatles overrated? I do not believe the Beatles are overrated. Like any other band, they had some songs which were awesome and a hell of a lot of them, and they also had some songs that were duds. But again, music is subjective. What I would consider a dud, you might think is the greatest song ever. And what I consider a great song, you might say, Tom, that sucks. I'm just saying. So if the Beatles, I'm anxious to see how this thing charts according to the streaming services and music sales and everything else. But the buzz that this has created is kind of, I don't want to say extraordinary. It's not as though Tom Brady walked on water, which I think he's done, but it's right up there. Okay. But for you, when you think back on the musical soundtrack of your life, how big a role did the Beatles play? And I know that we have a lot of people in the local music community who play out and entertain us at bars and other venues inside and outside, sometimes in July when you wrap a blanket around yourself when you don't get a table with a heater. But anyway, not a real big fan of July 23, okay? It was not weather-wise anyway. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And look, you know me. I'm kind of a contrarian. Most people, if I say the Beatles' greatest album, their gut reflex is going to be, well, that's easy, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. But as good as that is, and it's an excellent album, it really is quite awesome. As good as that is, I prefer Abbey Road. I think Abbey Road is outstanding, and I also don't mind Let It Be. But there are so many phases that you have to look at when you consider the Beatles. There's the early phase where they did some cover songs like Kansas City, and then Revolver and Rubber Soul. I think they really hit their stride. And then it was just an amazing diversity of music that they produced, most songs written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. George Harrison oftentimes found himself to be the odd man out, and I always felt good about the fact that George Harrison's Something was such a colossal hit for the Beatles. It's like, oh, good, George finally got his due. I mean, Norwegian Wood was good, but Something remains one of the greatest love songs ever written. And to me, and this should not surprise anybody, because Eric Clapton and George Harrison were good friends, to me, there is an element of Something by George Harrison and the Beatles in Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight. There's the same kind of sentiment being expressed and a very tender love that is being expressed in those songs. So I want to know where you are on the Beatles. One of the questions is, are the Beatles still relevant? And I absolutely, now look, some of it may very well be a function of the fact that I'm a 60-year-old, almost all white guy. Touch of Asian, not going to lie, but mostly white. And I love the Beatles. I think song for song, I think it's really hard to match the Beatles. For example, as much as you hear me say, oh, Pink Floyd, I love Pink Floyd. Okay, I love The Wall. I love Dark Side of the Moon. But there are some Floyd performances that, frankly, I just don't care for. For example, the Pompeii performance. I know it's a classic. I know people smoke weed and get into it. But it's just not my thing. I guess I'm a little more poppy than Pink Floyd at Pompeii. As cool as it is that they're playing at this place that was destroyed by Vesuvius in 79 AD. But where are you with the Beatles? Did the Beatles change your life? And I really want to put out a special call to people who are in the local music industry. Did the Beatles have anything to do with your learning to play an instrument? Or was it somebody else? Was it another band? And again, there's so much great music out there. There really is. I've got a poster on the wall at home from 2017, and it lists groups like The Turtles, Flo and Eddie, Chuck Negron, The Cowsills. And look, these performers all had hits, but they did not change the course of music, in my opinion, like the Beatles changed the course of music. And again, they went through phases. And, you know, getting back to Pink Floyd, if I may, and I hope I've got some music freaks listening, because this is your time to shine, baby. This is your time to call and maybe call me out. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited about the fact that there's a new Beatles song out. And again, it's not Let It Be. It's not I Want to Hold Your Hand. It's not Helter Skelter. It's a new Beatles song. And again, it wouldn't be, in my opinion, an A-side or a B-side of an old 45. They would have put it somewhere in the middle of the White Album. Okay, maybe they would have put that in instead of Rocky Raccoon. Although Rocky Raccoon also has its shining moments, like hearing an Englishman do a Western drawl. 803-0930. I really want to hear from local musicians because I support you guys. I always go to the tip jar. And I give you just the tip. Are the Beatles still relevant, like when you guys play out? And I'll tell you what amazes me. A lot of things amaze me, but maybe I'm amazed. Sorry, that was a Paul McCartney reference hidden in there. But it's been said that the Electric Light Orchestra is what the Beatles would have become had they stayed together. And my boys in a local band, I mention them every day, I think, Back to the Bars, they do an ELO medley. And every time they do it, it's almost like everybody gives them a standing ovation. And I don't know that I've heard those guys do any Beatles songs, but I haven't been to every show they've done, although it certainly seems that way. I keep being told, Tom, there are other bands out there. I know. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN talking about the Beatles and where they are in your musical hierarchy. As much as I love Steely Dan and the Eagles, I have to say the Beatles are still, they're still number one. But again, I'm 60 years old, so, you know, maybe that's a function of age. But if it makes you feel any better, I never got Frank Sinatra and I never got Elvis. I never got the hysteria. Art, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Yes, sir.
Sorry. I hate saying that. The Beatles are great. They didn't influence me necessarily, but I do love them. But there are guitarists that have influenced me greatly, and some like Rick Emmett, Robin Trower, Niels Lofgren, those guys, Michael Schenker, Rudolph Schenker, those guys really shaped my music history. And UFO, and they were just groups that I just really, really loved. And Niels Lofgren, I think, is just an amazing guitarist.
If we're going to talk about guitar players, and you've hit on one of my soft spots, George Harrison, to me, one of the most tasteful guitar players of all time, especially as he mastered the slide technique later in his career, which you can hear on the Wilburys songs. And to me, George Harrison, just one of the most tasteful guitar players who's ever lived. And I also have to give equal credit, along with George Harrison, to a guy that Don Henley and Glenn Frey made sure was no longer an Eagle, Don Felder. To me, every Don Felder lick and fill I hear is just perfect.
And I agree with you. I saw Don Felder in Rochester during Jazz Fest maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And he was amazing. He really was amazing. And I don't know why they kicked him off, but you're right. Early Eagles were just phenomenal.
Because Don Henley's a tool, basically.
He's an a-hole. There's no doubt about that. He's an arrogant person. But
Glenn Frey wasn't much better. I mean, come on. How do you kick Randy Meisner out of the Eagles after the success of Take It to the Limit because he wasn't feeling up to doing it as an encore? You don't kick somebody out of the band. You kick somebody out of the band if they're sleeping with your wife.
Paid the price for that.
I was going to say, that's rule number one of band. The bro code is paramount. Unfortunately, some people breach that code and they never get gigs again. But in any event, I find it interesting that with everybody you just mentioned, where do the Beatles rank in your personal hierarchy of musical loves?
They're not number one, but they're definitely the top five. I'm a kind of an obscure band person. I like, for instance, like I just said, UFO. I don't know if you remember them or if you ever heard them.
No.
I just think they were phenomenal.
If you could see me right now, sir, I'm just smiling and nodding. Oh, yeah, UFO. Sure. Okay. Yeah. I'll pretend like I know exactly what you're discussing, even if I don't.
They had the best live album. I can't remember what year it was. It was not the year that Peter Frampton came out with Comes Alive, but they were shortly thereafter. But they had the best live album during the early 70s with Strangers in the Night. And Michael Schenker is just a phenomenal guitarist. And Rudolph Schenker's his brother, obviously, with Scorpions. But he is just a great guitarist. I just can't believe you haven't heard of him.
I'm sorry. There's a lot of holes in my musical knowledge, I'll be the first to say. But I do have a guitar pick handed to me by John Harrington of Steely Dan in New York City. So there. I was hoping the magic would wear off, and it didn't work. Anyway... But I did teach myself Idiot Wind by Bob Dylan today, so give me some credit on that. I can finally start to feel the edge of my fingertips. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call.
No problem.
I do. I want to hear from other local musicians. Look, you entertain us in the summer, winter, spring, and fall, and I want to know, like, what role the Beatles had in your decision to form a band and get gigs. Most of you have full-time jobs. And you've got to hustle to get set up, which is a big pain in the ass every time you do it. And then, of course, you want to break down right away after the gig because you start drinking, having wings. Then you look at your equipment and you got to tear down, and it is a pain in the butt. That's the worst part about playing is tearing down. All right. It's 28 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll be back with more calls coming up after the news at 5:30. The Beatles' new single dropped today. And, hey, I think it's pretty cool, personally, even though AI is going to destroy the world eventually, on WBEN. Song Now and Then, which was released today. I'll shut up now.
I know it's true. It's all because of you. And if I make it through, it's all
part gets me where McCartney joins in. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So what do you think of the new Beatles song? Are the Beatles just so ancient that they don't matter anymore? Are they still relevant? Let's go to Mike in North Tonawanda on WBEN. Mike, hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Great
day.
Sir.
Great day.
Well,
yeah, I believe... Go ahead.
Musically, if not meteorologically...
Yeah, the Beatles were the best, and they're always going to be the best. I firmly believe that, and I also agree with you that they would have became ELO. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
the Beatles would have progressed.
Yeah, I mean, that style of music, yeah. I mean, I think it's impossible, and I'll shut up and let you talk. To me, it's impossible to listen to ELO and even some of the Wilburys songs without hearing obviously Harrison was part of the Wilburys, but without hearing a huge Beatles influence.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jeff Lynne's a musical genius.
And he can't read, he cannot read a note of music. Did you know that?
You know what? I did hear that, which is even more mind-boggling. The number of people that Lennon and McCartney and Jeff Lynne actually wrote songs for that they never recorded is astronomical.
Examples?
Olivia Newton, John Xanadu. Jeff Lynne wrote that.
Absolutely.
I'm driving right now. I can't really, off the top of my head, think of them. But
hey, the Bee Gees wrote Islands in the Stream. People think Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton did. It was the Bee Gees.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. So I have a disc that a friend of mine that found it during a drug raid. He was a cop. And this disc, he gave me a copy of. He made a copy of it for me because he knows I'm such a big Beatle nut. This one CD, it's a data disc, not a music disc. You plug it in the computer, and every single Beatle album cover comes up on a screen. You click on any cover you want, the entire album comes up, lyrics, songs, release dates, everything, and you can play it and listen to it. And then there's a, you can click it again, and it goes to an alphabetical song list of all the songs, regardless of the album. And it's just an incredible CD.
Wow.
I call it a CD, but I'm not sure what it is. A data disc.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how they fit all of that onto one, because like the anthology series, I think those were two CDs each, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
When you say the Beatles are the best, I would like, why do you think the Beatles are the best?
Well, I think the fact that they changed the course of rock and roll three times. They were, like you said, the early Beatles. Then you get into the Rubber Soul era. That kind of changed the way the music was going. And then you get into Sgt. Pepper, which was massive. And Abbey Road, I agree with you. I think Abbey Road's the better album. But they changed the course of music three times in what, 8 years, 10 years?
They had a very, I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, if we're talking about 1964 to 1970, six years.
Mind-boggling. They were releasing four albums a year at one point.
That's the way it was done back then, though. Hey, we need 2 minutes and 30 seconds worth of songs. Get to work, boys.
Yep, yep. I know that. Don't quote me on this, but it was a song, a party that Lennon McCartney were at, and so was Mick Jagger and the Stones. And the Stones had questioned them, "How can you guys just knock these things out so fast?" And then McCartney and Lennon went in the corner of a room at a party and wrote a song. I gave it to him and said, "Here, record it." And it was "I Want to Be Your Man."
You know, I think I read that story somewhere on the internet in the not too distant past.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's just mind-boggling what they did.
And then
you got McCartney making albums where he plays every instrument.
Well, he's obviously a very talented guy. I mean, he's a great guitar player. He's a phenomenal bass player. The keyboards, obviously, he's got those down pretty well. I'm trying to think of remember seeing him play drums on any videos. But do you, just out of curiosity, technology being what it is, I mean, all day long we've been talking about, hey, it's the final Beatles song that will ever be released. And back during the anthology series on TV in the mid-1990s, I think they said the final songs by the Beatles to be released, and it was Real Love and Free as a Bird, which we'll sample here momentarily. But
It makes me wonder if there will be more.
I do wonder if there will be more, but they better get on it, because McCartney and Ringo are octogenarians, although Ringo's in amazing shape, and I think Paul is too, especially
Paul just started a tour, right?
Yep.
Paul just started a tour in Australia.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, in Australia, but we got to get him back to Buffalo. He promised he'd come back. He promised at the end of his Buffalo show in 2015 he'd come back, and I can't wait to see what the ticket prices are with that flexible pricing system.
You know what? My biggest regret is never seeing him in concert.
Why? Just out of curiosity, why did you not go in 2015?
You know what? At the time, I was down with some illnesses and whatnot. I have a lot of heart problems, like you do.
It just wasn't
in the cards.
Understood. But I must tell you, and I've mentioned this previously during the show. I literally spent $5,000 on four tickets. I took my mom, and we were four or five rows back, center for McCartney, and the kids were a few rows behind us. And it was money well spent, because that is a memory that my kids, I mean, they're in their 30s now, and they will never forget the fact that they saw Paul McCartney. My daughter mentioned, we were watching the football game a few weeks ago, and for some reason that came up, and she said, "I'm never, ever going to forget it."
Makes you feel good, don't it?
Well, you know
Give your daughter that memory like that.
If you can make memories with your kids like that, It's a glorious thing. But the when you've talked about how the Beatles changed music three times. When I listen to, let's say, I Want to Hold Your Hand, but then I listen to Dave Clark 5, Glad All Over, I'm hearing the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, the Dave Clark 5, they didn't have, their albums didn't have every song a hit.
No, this is true, but they were serious rivals to the Beatles until the Rolling Stones started doing their own stuff and got away from the blues covers and started writing their own stuff. Right. And then the Beach Boys, I'm sure you've heard Mike Love of the Beach Boys on this show. He's been on with us a few times and actually likes me. And he... No, he's really a cool guy. I mean, we have had some great conversations off air and on air, but he talks about going to India with the Beatles and becoming very, very close with George Harrison, wrote a song about his friendship with George Harrison, which is quite poignant. Mike Love still adheres to the Indian religious mysticism and philosophies. And, you know, Mike is, he's just a great guy. I mean, I've never met any of the Beatles. I was very close to Ringo, very close, like within 10 feet of Ringo once. But, you know, you don't, you know, when you're that close to Ringo, you don't, even if inside you feel like a little girl and you want to scream, right? you don't, because it's just not cool. And I'll tell you,
it's not.
No, and I'll tell you another story. Another guy who's been on the show and that I've had a chance to hang out with more actually than Mike Love of the Beach Boys is Billy Bob Thornton. And Billy Bob Thornton, the actor and musician, he was actually working at the same recording studio as Paul McCartney was in Los Angeles, and they're both vegetarians. So anyway, Paul found out that Billy Bob was there and wanted to have lunch with him. So Paul McCartney sat down, had lunch with Billy Bob Thornton at the recording studio. I think they ate outside, as I recall the story. But, I mean, it's a small world. And whoever, I mean, when you think about it, okay, here's another, like how the music business can be so close and almost incestuous. Joe Walsh. Okay.
Right.
Joe Walsh, we're talking James Gang, Walk right. Away, Funk 49, and then Joe Walsh becomes an Eagle, and Joe Walsh basically marries into the Beatles family. How cool was that for Joe Walsh?
Yeah, that is cool. You know, it's a tightly knit community.
Well, it has to be, because I mean. We can sit here, all right, and we can talk about, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be Paul McCartney? Wouldn't it be cool to be Ringo Starr? And I think to a point it would be, but can you imagine, seriously, spending the last 50 years of your life with that kind of spotlight on you where you basically can't do anything without surrounding yourself with an entourage? By the way, Paul McCartney and his wife did see the movie yesterday in the Hamptons, and supposedly they loved it. One of our earlier callers had brought that movie up.
Yeah, it's, you got to have a lot of security if you're one of these guys.
Well, that's what amazes me, and this came up earlier in 1999 when George Harrison was attacked at his estate. I would have thought that he would have had state-of-the-art security. I would have thought that he'd have a 24/7 bodyguard, but George Harrison almost... He almost died. He was stabbed, yep, 40 times, including one very close to his heart. He almost died.
He got lucky.
And then Danny Harrison, his son... there was a famous quote, and I'll try to remember what George Harrison said. He said words to the effect of, he wasn't a burglar, and he sure wasn't trying out for the Wilburys, which I thought was a very funny line.
You know what? I do remember that quote.
I think that was some of George Harrison's fondness for Eric Idle of Monty Python coming out, because that just seems so dry and Monty Python-ish that I have to believe Eric Idle had an influence on that particular quote. Good stuff, man. I appreciate the call.
Jim, one last thing for you real quick. You mentioned the guitar pick from – I got handed the guitar pick from Buddy Guy.
Oh, that's
and
pretty cool.
Once, it is, and it's only when he gave out the whole show. And they actually gave it to the girl I was there with. But it's on one side, it says, Buddy Guy. When you flipped it over, it says, Go F yourself.
All right, thanks. Thanks very much. Hey, I interviewed B.B. King, and he invited me up for chicken wings, and I said no. What a dork I was. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Well, come on, I was 17 years old, and I didn't know how to talk to people. Still don't, actually. You know, just getting back to the Beatles, and I don't mean to overplay George Harrison, but George Harrison, and maybe it's because I love the Traveling Wilburys. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love the Wilburys like you couldn't believe. But, I mean, my favorite performers all in the same room making music together on the spur of the moment. And you take a song like Handle With Care. How did they do that fast? End of the line. How did they do it that fast? Are you kidding me? Not to mention the other Wilbury songs. And the Traveling Wilburys, for those who don't know, consisted of former Beatle George Harrison, Roy Orbison, who had a very tragic life. He lost kids in a house fire. You might not know that. His career peaked, and then it ebbed, and then it started to peak again, and then he dies of a heart attack at 54 or whatever years old. It was tragic. Tom Petty, who is, of course, no longer with us. Bob Dylan, who allegedly is still with us, but I have my doubts. And Jeff Lynne of ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. And how do you go wrong? And nobody knows the name of the drummer. He gets short shrift. But anyway, love the Wilburys. But what's interesting about the song that was released today is after the murder of John Lennon, I mean, there were various tribute songs that were written. Elton John did a tribute song to John Lennon. And George Harrison did a tribute song to John Lennon on which the other surviving Beatles collaborated. And it was called, and let's get it ready to fire up here, All Those Years Ago. Let's see if you remember this one.
I'm shouting all about love. Well, they cheated you like a dog. And you were the one who had made it so clear. All those years ago.
Now, if you can't hear the Beatles in this, you need a hearing aid because, I mean, those vocals, who else could it possibly be? And one of my all-time favorite songs, not that the show's about me, but I hope you can relate to this as well. It's a song that was produced, again, by Jeff Lynne. I think the video won some kind of an MTV award, but it wasn't about John Lennon. It was George Harrison later in life reflecting on when the Beatles were everything, when they were fab.
Back then, long time ago, when grass was green, woke up in a daze, arrived like strangers in the night. Long time ago, when we were
now, it's an awesome song. And here's a bit of trivia for you. That was actually the three surviving Beatles in that video. It was Ringo. You can see clearly George Harrison wearing his Sgt. Pepper gear in some of the video. And the guy in the walrus suit was Paul McCartney. And he was camera shy that day. That's why you don't see them. And I really regret the fact that we can't see McCartney's face in the When We Was Fab video. But anyway, today, totally different kettle of fish with the new Beatles song.